I can already see this thing's going to fall off. Feels like it's going to fall off. Stays on, though? Okay. I just got to ignore it. This is going to be an experiment. All right, let's get started. You can open up your Bibles to Ecclesiastes as we continue. We're in Ecclesiastes 11 this morning as we near the conclusion of this book. Ecclesiastes 11. We are going to start in verse 7. Ecclesiastes 11, 7. Let's read the Word of God. Light is sweet, and it is pleasant for the eyes to see the sun. So if a person lives many years, let him rejoice in them all, but let him remember that the days of darkness will be many. All that comes is vanity. Rejoice, O young man, in your youth, and let your heart cheer you in the days of your youth. Walk in the ways of your heart and the sight of your eyes. But know that for all these things God will bring you into judgment. Remove vexation from your heart and put away pain from your body, for youth and the dawn of life are vanity. And then let's read the first verse of chapter 12. Remember also your Creator in the days of your youth, before the evil days come and the years draw near, of which you will say, I have no pleasure in them. All right, let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for this beautiful day you've given us. Thank you for all the blessings that you've bestowed upon us, Lord. We are grateful that we serve a holy God, a righteous God, a just God. Help us this morning to be attentive and to learn. Pray you'd help us to take these things to our heart, that we may know you more, that we may live a life that is pleasing to you. Lord, help our lives to be a reflection of Christ as we go forth into a world that is wicked, a world that hates you, God. Help us to be a light to them. And even as youth, even as we are elderly, whatever age we may be, may we make it our goal, our purpose in life to glorify and honor your holy name in what we do. Just be with me this morning. Give me the words to say. Help it speak through me, Lord. And I pray your word would go forth with power. And we love you and praise you, Lord. It's in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. Okay, so we're again nearing the conclusion of this book. We've talked about how chapters 11 and 12 are considered to be concluding chapters of the book. 2 weeks ago, we talked about casting your bread upon the waters. And now we get into this section on youth and old age. And it kind of makes sense if you think about it as you're concluding things, you're talking about what you do with your life, and then you're talking about the different stages or seasons of your life that you go through. You go through a season of youth, middle age, and then old age. McLaren writes, this book of Ecclesiastes is intended to be the picture of a man fighting his way through perplexities and half-truths to a clear conviction in which he can rest. A clear conviction in which he can rest. And that's what we shoot for as we go through life. So today, the focus of our message is going to be on youth, and doesn't mean that if you're older or middle-aged, this will not apply to you. All the principles here are going to apply across the board, but the focus is the youth this morning. It's interesting, Tessa was talking about this the other day. When we're young, we want to be old, and when we're old, we want to be young, and that's an interesting thing to think about. And I think one of the messages of this section here on youth and old age is to be content with where you are in your life. Be content. And that's a hard thing to do. As you're young and you're starting to learn things and get wisdom and knowledge, you want to be old and you want to know these things. You sit around a table and hear grown-ups talk or elderly talk, and you want to be able to participate in the conversation. You want to get out on your own and earn your own money, all those things. And then you go through middle age, and then you get old, and then you want to be young again because your bones start hurting, your body starts aching, and everything starts to go downhill, and you want to be young again. So a message I would say to focus on today is to be content with where God has placed you. God has placed you exactly where He intends you to be. And contentment is a big part of your life. As I thought of youth, I can't help but think of sports. I think sports is a good analogy to use when you look at youth and you look at the sports, the great athlete who is young, he's very brash and arrogant, and then he kind of starts to get older and figure things out. And it's interesting, when you look at sports, the prime years of an athlete is about 25 to 35, somewhere in there. That's the, and sports vary a little bit, but there's only about 10 years at the most that an athlete has in his prime. That's about the norm, even for the very best. 10 years in your prime, and it's gone. And I think that's fitting for our discussion today, because no, we're not in athletics, but in the walk of life, I think we can look at our prime years, our years where we have energy, where we have vigor, where we have a lot of want-to, a lot of those things, and it goes quickly. I think that's one thing to think about this morning, is as youth, it goes very quickly. Even as an athlete, those years are gone very fast, and then so is a youth. There's another saying that I thought about too, where it says to the youth are supposed to sow their wild oats. And you hear that a lot, even among Christian circles, where kids will go off to college, and you'll just say, hey, he's going to sow his wild oats, and he's going to be fine. You know, once he gets 10 years down the road, he's going to come back to Christ and become a good man again. But you'll see as we go through this passage today that that's the opposite of what Solomon is talking about here. There is no sowing your wild oats. There is no, when you're a youth, just let all your wild stuff get out. The habits you form as a youth carry over to the rest of your life. They do. I've seen it so many times. And don't just think, too, by the way, that if you're a youth, you're going to go sow your wild oats, you're going to separate from Christ and go out into the world and do all these wicked things. You don't always come back to Christ. Those things don't always work out that way. We've seen plenty of youth who have gone astray, left their parents' home and gone astray, never to return to Christ. And what a shame it is to do that. So we have a very short window of youth, and the focus again of today is remember your Creator in the days of your youth. That's the summary of what he talks about here. So let's get into the passages. Verse 7 says, light is sweet and it is pleasant for the eyes to see the sun. So this can go to the preceding section or talk about youth. I chose to kind of focus on youth as we talk about this. So we focus on the eyes seeing the sun. Proverbs 15:30 says the light of the eyes rejoice the heart. And so we're talking about these eyes that see the sun, eyes that are vibrant. And we're going to contrast this later with old age, where the eyes start to become dim and we start to struggle to see. So there's the contrast between the youth and the old age. D. Thomas says, and if then he looks into the face of a companion, a noble and generous youth, unstained by sin, undimmed by care, untouched by disease, he can well understand what is meant by the morning of life, the luster of youth, and can thank God that such a period, such strength, joy, and hope have been appointed as part of human experience. In youth and bounding health and high spirits, how fresh and winsome is the present, how alluring the future. Who would wish to cast a shadow upon the brightness which God Himself has created? So as a youth, there is health, there is high spirits, there is sweetness and pleasant. The eyes are pleasant as they see things. When you are young, the whole world is in front of you. Everything is out there. The world is vibrant and whole. And McLaren had a good point here. He said, after all we have been hearing about vanity and vexation of spirit, life is worth living for. And that God means young people to be glad and to make the best of the fleeting years that will never come back with the same buoyance and elasticity all their lives long. So think about that, young people. The sun is bright. Light is sweet. As a young person, you have that vigor and energy and health you need to do all kinds of great things. And what guys, McLaren says, God means young people to be glad and make the best of the fleeting years that God has given you. Just like the athlete, there is a short window where they are in their prime. That is the same with the youth. You have a very short window where you have the things that God gives you as a youth. We're to use them for the glory of God. So what are we to do in our youth? Well, look at verse 8. Verse 8 says, "So if a person lives many years, let him rejoice in them all, but let him remember that the days of darkness will be many. All that comes is vanity." Solomon comes back to this understanding. If a person lives many years, so this goes through your entire life, we are to rejoice in them all, but also remember that the days of darkness will be many. We have already talked about a lot about rejoicing in the life that Christ has given you. And we're going to see a little later on that this applies even more to a youth because of how many benefits the youth has as far as the things that they have in their body, health, vigor, all those things. The days of darkness. So as we look to the future as a youth, as you're looking forward to the future, as you're thinking about the days ahead, there's two different ways you can think about this. Solomon clearly says here, let him remember that the days of darkness will be many. So we don't have this deluded vision of the future where everything's going to be rosy and perfect and everything's going to be great. We can look at the things that have gone before us. We look at the days of darkness, the sorrow to come, the pain to come, and there's two different effects we can have on our life. We can have this morbid outlook on life, this sorrow and sadness, always waiting for the hard times to come or always anticipating there's going to be darkness right around the corner. W. Clarkson says, "We may stroll in the churchyard, and as we read the names and ages of men who live for 30 or 40 years, but who have been in their graves for it may be 200 years, we may think how small was the measure of the light on which they looked compared with that of the darkness in which they have been sleeping. And as we yield to these thoughts, we feel the vanity of human affairs. Thus the shadow of the tomb falls upon and darkens the brightness of our life. It seems to us a poor thing for a man to come out of the infinite darkness behind, to walk in the sunshine for a few swiftly passing, soon departed decades, and then go out into the immeasurable darkness on the other side." So those few swiftly, soon departing decades, we can look at that and we can remember that darkness is coming, that those days are coming. Or we know that it's not vanity. We know that life is not vanity. The whole point of Ecclesiastes has been to teach you to rejoice in the days God has given you and remember that life is not vanity if you're living it for Christ. So as we look forward to the dark days, we know that the dark days are coming. We're not deluded in our sense of that, but we also don't let it affect our entire life. He talks about here, we feel the vanity of human affairs as we yield to these thoughts. So we don't let those thoughts overwhelm us. We don't let those thoughts just destroy who we are. We remember that the days of darkness will be many, but there is rejoicing that comes in your life. And as a youth, we're going to see this is even more important because to rejoice in the days God's given you. Yes, darkness is coming, but rejoice in the present. It's not all dour and gloom. The second way to look at that is to rejoice in hope, to have an understanding that Christ is in control. God is ultimately the one who looks out for you. On your handout, I put a little quote from Bridges in here because I thought it was so good. It said, "It is not natural for a young man to think of the many days of darkness. His spirits are buoyant, his senses are full of glow, his imagination is warm with the bright coloring of opening life. There is indeed a becoming grace in the liveliness of youth." There is a becoming grace in the liveliness of youth. When you see a youth that is dour and gloomy and always down in the mouth, doesn't seem right? There's something not right about that. As youth, we're supposed to be buoyant and full of grace. W. Clarkson says, "If it be so that there is nothing but darkness beyond, if it be true what we see comprises all that is to be seen, then let us, for that very reason, make the most of all that we hold. If the worth of our existence is confined to the present, let us compress into the present time all the action and all the enjoyment which it will hold." So if the days of darkness are coming, if tomorrow is going to be a day of darkness and it's going to be extended darkness, then use the most of the time that God has given you. Use the time that God has given you today to do His will and to be about His kingdom and His glory. Even as a youth, you don't know what tomorrow is going to bring, even as a youth. tomorrow. You don't know whether your health's going to continue, whether all these things that God has given you is going to continue. So look at verse 9. Verse 9 says, "Rejoice, O young man, in your youth, and let your heart cheer you in the days of your youth. Walk in the ways of your heart and the sight of your eyes. But know that for all these things, God will bring you into judgment." This is talking about a youth and a young man and what he is supposed to do with his life. What is he supposed to do? Rejoice, let your heart cheer you in the days of your youth. But there is this overriding sense that know for all these things, God will bring you into judgment. So there is still this judgment waiting. McLaren says, "The joy of youth is all right and legitimate, that you are intended to be glad and to feel the physical and intellectual spring and buoyance of early days. As a youth, do we ever stop as a young person and really think of what a joy it is to be alive? How great it is that your eyes can see the sun, that you can walk around healthy, that you have this vigor and energy that God's given you. So often as youth, I think we just throw it all away and don't really appreciate the things God's given us. We live for the vain things of this world as youth, and we wonder why we can't find contentment and joy in life." So open up your handout. I thought about three benefits to the youth here, as it says, "Rejoice, O young man, in your youth." So what are the benefits to being a youth? And number one in your handout is generally has health and well-being. So generally has health and well-being. Youth are generally full of vigor. They have health and well-being. Job 33:25 says, "Let his flesh become fresher than in youth. Let him return to the days of his youthful vigor." We have more energy and strength as a youth. That's obvious when you look at it. So the question becomes, what are you using that energy and strength and vigor for? I have seen many, many young people get hooked on this trap of recreation and working out and becoming fit. It's a crazy thing today with all these new fitness things to do. And as a youth, because you have this energy and you have this strength about you, as you begin to work out and as you begin to participate in recreation, it starts to become an addiction. And recreation can easily turn into an idol, very easily. I've seen it many times in youth. And it's okay to be in shape and to work out and all those things, but we got to keep things in perspective. We've talked about our time management and how we've got to keep things right when we're doing them. We can't let working out and recreation consume us and consume our life. Because then you're using that energy and strength that God's given you as a youth, you're using it for your own selfish purposes at that point. Because you're not spending time in the Word. You're not spending time with God like you should be. Again, the habits you form as a youth carry over to the rest of your life in some way. So let us use the time wisely. But generally they have health and well-being, and that's a good thing. You use that energy for the glory of God. You have plenty of energy to serve, to do those kind of things. Use it for the glory of God. Number two, they are not burdened by the cares of life. They are not burdened by the cares of life. So, as a youth, you don't have jobs to worry about. You don't have spouses to worry about, children to worry about, poor health to worry about, even aging parents to worry about, all those things that come into play as you get older. And I thought about the stress on the mind. You know, jobs, kids, parents, all those things have a stress on the mind that a youth can't even begin to understand what it takes, the stresses that are involved in the mind. So you have the advantage as a youth to not all have all these things weighing down on you. They don't weigh down on you as a youth. You have more mental capacity to do the things for the kingdom of God. And you talk to youth and they'll say their life is tough because of school and certain things, but once you get out into the real world and you start really having to provide and have real children of your own, then you're going to see the weight and heaviness of life that was not there when you were young and you had time to do those other things. I think about in a company, when you're just starting out in a company, You think things are hard, but you're just at the very bottom of the totem pole. And then as you start moving up, you get more responsibility, you have more stress, you have more things you have to take care of. And that's the same thing with the youth. So as a young person, take advantage that you are not burdened by the cares of life in the way that the older people are. And number three, you have a sharp mind on your handout. Number three, he has a sharp mind. So I thought about as a youth, I thought about the fact that your mental capacity is very strong as a youth. You see youth who can memorize things very quickly. They have a sharp mind. And as you get older and more things get put into this brain of yours, you start to forget things and you start to not remember the things that you did as a youth. So take advantage of that sharp mind. And as a youth, the question is, what are you doing with the time that God has given you? All these benefits that God has given to you as a youth, and what are you doing with the time God has given you? Chatting on the phone? Are you playing around on the phone? Are you goofing off all the time? Is all your time spent in useless pursuits of vain things of this world, which 99% of the youth out there, that's all they do? Seems like the phone or whatever it is, it seems like that's all they're doing. It's just all these vain things. But we as Christian youth ought to be different than the world. We ought to be able to go out into this world and serve and help and stand up for God and do biblical things according to God's word. So take advantage. These aren't just useless benefits God's given you as a youth. Take advantage of the benefits God's given you as a youth and that short window of time he's given you to use for his kingdom. Psalm 103:5 says, "Who satisfies your years with good things so that your youth is renewed like the eagle?" So that your youth is renewed. So God will renew our youth. But as a youth, you don't need renewing in that capacity as far as energy and vigor and things. God will satisfy you as you serve and faithfully serve him. And here he says, back in verse 9, to let your heart cheer you, walk in the ways of your heart in the sight of your eyes. And again, it's easy to see, but this can be misinterpreted. So sow your wild oats for the youth, that they're to do that, but know that God will bring all these things into judgment. And of course, that's not what he's saying here. Matthew Henry, I think, summed it up well. Solomon makes an affecting address to young persons. They would desire opportunity to pursue every pleasure. Then follow your desires, but be assured that God will call you into judgment. That Solomon means to condemn the pleasures of sin is evident. His object is to draw the young person to pure and more lasting joys. That's his goal here. Solomon is drawing the young person to pure and lasting joys that are going to bring you true fulfillment. Not these pleasures and lust of the world that are going to just fade away and bring you nothing but pain and heartache. 2 Timothy 2:22 says, "So flee youthful passions and pursue righteousness, faith, love, and peace, along with those who call on the Lord from a pure heart." So youth, you want to know what to pursue? You want to know the things you're supposed to seek after? Look at 2 Timothy 2:22, righteousness, faith, love, peace, and those who call on the Lord from a pure heart. So all those things as a young person, if you want to get rid of this lust of the flesh and this lust of the eyes and this pride and all these things, pursue the things that Christ calls us to, not the vain things of this world. Ecclesiastes has talked a lot about that, but what the focus here is on the youth who have a natural tendency to be more apt over those lust of the flesh and things like that as they're starting to get older. Bridges writes, "The fact is that the young man too often has not an idea what temptation is. He realizes no need of any special warning. He fancies himself well able to be his own keeper. Let him take his Bible and learn by it what he has yet to learn, the knowledge of himself." Take the Bible and learn about yourself. Learn who you really are. As a youth, when you think of that athlete, he doesn't see all of his flaws and faults, and he just thinks he's the best thing in the world. And same with the youth. They have a tendency not to see the things in them that are obvious, that others can see. They have this high sense of themselves. So, as a youth, your life will be most miserable as a youth if you chase after the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes and those things. Your life will be full of joy and peace if you spend your time in the Word of God, if you spend your time in a love for Christ. Oh, that youth today would get this, would quit living in sin and live for Christ. That's the focus here. So turn, open up your handout to handout number 2, and we're going to look at the warnings of youth. We talked about the benefits, now we're going to talk about the warnings. Because there's some things that a youth has to be particularly aware of. And number 1 is pride. Number 1 is pride. And this is easy to see. Youth have this natural pride where they think they are better than they really are. 1 Peter 5:5 says, "You younger men, likewise, be subject to your elders. And all of you, clothe yourselves with humility toward one another, for God opposes the proud, but gives grace to the humble." Humility is a call of youth because they struggle so much with pride. Because they have all this energy and this vigor and this sharp mind, they have a tendency to think they're better than they really are. Wait until you get older. Be patient. Be flexible. Life experiences and learning brings about many things in your life. You don't always have a comment to say in every conversation. I've seen youth who have done that. As you're around a table talking, they always have to have some comment to interject into every situation. You don't have to do it. You don't know it all. You're young. You're going to learn. You're going to grow. Do that. Learn from things. Take in every situation and every circumstance as an opportunity to learn and to take things to heart. Not as an opportunity to show yourself and to show your pride, when really, a lot of times, all you're doing is showing your ignorance as a youth. Number 2, disobeying parents. Disobeying parents. Lots of verses on this. Deuteronomy 5:16 says, "If you obey your parents, it will go well with you, if you honor your father and mother." And I think the older we get, the less apt we are to obey our parents for some reason. But this is throughout our entire life, obedience. And what that teaches you, young people, is it teaches you to obey authority. The authority that God's put in your life. Throughout your entire life, somebody will be in authority over you. Somebody, whether it's the government, the church. I think about the church itself, about submitting to the authority of the government of the church. And that is a major problem today as people start scoffing at elders and pastors who confront them and things like that. This is where it's learned. Again, the habits you form as a youth carry forward to your entire life. So learn to submit. Learn to submit with a willing attitude, with the right mind, and it will go well with you. And last thing, number 3, all things will be brought into judgment. I used verse 9 there as all things will be brought into judgment. And this is the warning for youth. Bridges writes, "The man who is only half-hearted for God may soon become a man fully on Satan's side. And where can be his happiness? Compromising with the world, he is trifling with his highest interest. He is grasping at 2 shadows, the world and a worldly religion. Between these shadows, he loses the substance, loses heaven, loses his own soul." So if you compromise with the world, you're trifling with the very most important thing in your life. You're trifling with it. And again, we've seen youth who trifle with these things and play around with these sins as a youth, and then they drift off and never return to the kingdom of God. And what a shame that is. In this world, youth are the target of every single thing out there. Youth, they target youth. Advertisers, movies, TV shows, video games, everything's targeting the youth, those young people. And that's because they know the influence they have on them. If you can get them young, you've got them hooked. You've got them hooked for oftentimes the rest of their life. So as a young person, understand those targets are coming at you. Even as elderly, they come at us, but be confident. Have your foundation firm on the Word of God and on the things in the Word. You got to have a strong foundation if you're going to go out into this world and you're going to stand up to the constant attacks of the world. We've been talking about the armor of God for a long time now. McLaren says, "The very same person I know myself to be will be carried to heaven. Now, take that with you and lay it to heart, and let it have a bearing on your pleasure. It will kill nothing that deserves to live, and it will take no real joy out of a man's life. It will only strain out the poison that would kill you. It would only strain out the poison that will kill you." So youth, as parents set rules and as God sets rules and all these rules are in your life, you think that all your joy is being robbed. As you watch all your friends do all these other things and you think everything's being taken away from you. But in reality, the true joy of your life is what is being shown forth. There is nothing better for a young person to do than to read the Word of God, to study the Word of God, to know the Word of God while your mind is sharp. So Psalm 119:9 says, "How can a young man keep his way pure? By keeping it according to your word." Youth, how much are you really reading the Word of God and meditating on it and studying it? What books are you reading? Is it on Christian living? Is it on how to be a Christian and a strong, mature man? What kind of music are you listening to? What kind of movies are you watching? What kind of friends are you hanging out with? Are they godly friends? Are they friends who are going to encourage you and lift you up? Or are they just friends who are going to be silly and going to drag you down into the depths of darkness? How plugged in are you at church? How often do you serve? How much do you take the opportunity God's given you with your strength and vigor and use it for Him and His glory? As iron sharpens iron, so one man sharpens another. And this is never more evident than in youth, where the people around them have a tendency to either bring them up or drag them down. As a youth, don't think you can be in the midst of 10 other wicked other youth and you're going to conform them to your thinking as a Christian. Too often, they will change you and who you are as a man of God. So be careful about who you become friends with and be careful about how you live your life. As a youth, there is this tendency, for some reason, just to not spend the time in the Word and not understand the importance of living a godly life, of prayer, of all those things, and then you wonder why you're drifting off into this sin or why you're going off into this other thing, because all your time is being spent on vanity, on vain things, on things that don't really matter in this life, on things instead of things that matter with God. So this is a call to youth to lay these things to heart and understand where your real joy comes from. Verse number 10. If you can go back to Ecclesiastes 11 and verse 10. It says, "Remove vexation from your heart and put away pain from your body, for youth and the dawn of life are vanity." Now I struggled with this verse a lot. I've gone through Ecclesiastes a lot in my life, and I really struggled with this verse. So I really wanted to dig a little bit into it and try to get the meaning of it, because on the surface, to me, it didn't make a lot of sense. But of course, we know it does. And so we're going to look at these two words, vexation and pain. And actually, Solomon uses these words multiple times in Ecclesiastes. And we're going to look at these to try to get a better understanding of these words. These are the things that youth are supposed to remove from them, and so we need to understand what they are. So flip over, we're going to go through a couple of words in Ecclesiastes. This Hebrew word is ka'as, and it's used other places in Ecclesiastes. So go to Ecclesiastes 1:18, just to get a little better sense of what this word is. Ecclesiastes 1:18 says, "For in much wisdom is much vexation," that's our word right there, "and he who increases knowledge increases sorrow." So this is right after Solomon's been talking about wisdom and how the more wisdom we get, the more sorrow we get. How we understand the way the world works, we understand things more, well, that brings on more sorrow in our life because we understand the way things work. So keep that in the back of your head. Go to Ecclesiastes 7 verse 3. 7:3, same word is used here. Ecclesiastes 7:3 says, "Sorrow is better than laughter, for by sadness of face the heart is made glad." So this is talking here about the house of mourning, if you remember, and the day of death. And so what he's saying there is that word sorrow, he's saying it's better than laughter. So this is talking about sorrow that comes from the house of mourning, sorrow that comes from the day of death, sorrow that comes from looking upon those who are dead. And real quick, one more I wanted to go over because it kind of sums up these three. Proverbs 17:25, this was also written by Solomon, and I thought a good example of this one word here. Proverbs 17:25, flip over there real quick. 17:25 says, "A foolish son is a grief to his father." There's our word there, grief. "A foolish son is a grief to his father and bitterness to her who bore him." So here this is talking about the grief and the sorrow a father has when his son has gone astray from the faith. So to sum those three verses up, we can talk about this word vexation that comes from the cares of life, the sorrow from death, anguish over a foolish son. It's grief, it's sorrow, it's a troubled spirit, it's anguish deep inside of us. So keep that in your head, and now let's look at this word pain. The King James Version says evil. Again, these are the two things youth are supposed to remove from them. So this is pain or evil. The Hebrew word is raha, R-A-A-H, and it's again used multiple times in Ecclesiastes. So go back to Ecclesiastes, and we'll look at Ecclesiastes 5:13. Again, this is kind of what I did as I went through this section here, just to better understand it, is why I'm kind of taking you through this a little bit. Ecclesiastes 5:13 says, "There is a grievous evil," there's the word again, "a grievous evil that I have seen under the sun. Riches were kept by their owner to his hurt, and those riches were lost in a bad venture." So this is talking about, if you remember, we talked about riches and what to do with our wealth. This is talking about the flip side of that, the evil, the pain that comes from not doing the right things with your wealth. Stay in that same section, Ecclesiastes 5:16. Says, this also is a grievous evil, there's the word, "just as he came, so shall he go. And what gain is there to him who toils for the wind?" So the evil there he's talking about is a man who doesn't understand to pursue godliness and righteousness in this life. He pursues these other things and he's chasing the wind. He toils for the wind, and it's a grievous evil because naked he comes, naked he goes. Ecclesiastes 6:1, just a few verses over. "There is an evil," there's the word again, "that I have seen under the sun, and it lies heavy on mankind. A man to whom God gives wealth, possessions, and honor, so that he lacks nothing of all he desires, yet God does not give him power to enjoy them. But a stranger enjoys them. This is vanity. It is a grievous evil." So there's the vanity there that comes from not being able to enjoy life. You're focused on wealth, possessions, honor. God gives you all those things, but you still can't enjoy life. Life is vanity because you can't enjoy it. And last one, Ecclesiastes 7:14. Ecclesiastes 7:14 says, "In the day of prosperity, be joyful. And in the day of adversity," there's the word adversity, "consider, God has made the one as well as the other, so that man may not find out anything that will be after him." So this is talking about adversity that comes from God. Adversity that comes from God. So when we look at this section here, and we think about pain and evil, we're talking about the vanity of life, the inability to enjoy life, and the adversity that comes from God. That the pain, when that adversity from God comes into your heart, you are overwhelmed and you become basically, you have trouble moving on from those things. So to sum those two things up, you got grief, sorrow, and a troubled spirit. And it's not saying youth are not able to grieve and be sorrow. It's saying as a youth, the overwhelming part of your life is joy and to rejoice in those. And the sorrow that comes should not be this overwhelming grief and sorrow that comes from these things. Grief, sorrow, and troubled spirit. and pain and evil. This is the, again, the vanity of life, the inability to enjoy life, the adversity. When adversity comes into your life, it robs you of your joy and your vigor and your youth. So the three things in that pain and evil are chasing after vain things, focusing on earthly things, and you're overwhelmed from the adversity of God. So I hope that a little better sums up kind of what these two words mean and what youth are supposed to remove from their lives. Cambridge sums it up a little bit. He says, we are not to look on the dark side of things, but to cultivate cheerfulness, to be content with whatever life brings us, to be content with whatever life brings us. And I opened up talking about how youth want to be old, and so as a youth, we need to cultivate an art of contentment, of being content at the things God brings about in our life, and not be overwhelmed by them, not have this overwhelming grief and sorrow. Now look at the end of that verse. We're again in verse 10. It says, for youth and the dawn of life are vanity. And again, I had trouble with that. If you remember, the word youth is actually the Hebrew word habel, which means mere breath. And it's hard to reconcile. The ESV and the King James both use that word vanity. And it's hard to reconcile that word meaning meaninglessness or chasing after the wind, because youth and the vanity of life cannot mean that, according to this. He's talked about how youth are to rejoice and do things for the kingdom of God. So I think a more apt way to talk about that would be mere breath, to take it that our youth is fleeting. It is a mere breath. It comes and goes quickly. And there were multiple commentators that had made that point that, as a youth, our life as a youth is fleeting. It goes very quickly. And so when you think about the first half of it coupled with the second, you kind of get a sense of what that verse is saying. We're to remove these things from our life because youth is a mere breath. It goes quickly. It's fleeting. It comes and goes. And we are to focus on the things that matter and live our life for Christ. And he actually sums that up real nice in chapter 12, verse 1, he says, remember also your Creator in the days of your youth, before the evil days come and the years draw near, of which you will say, I have no pleasure in them. So he actually sums it up pretty good right there, where he says, remember your Creator in the days of your youth. Now, I've talked about how chapter breaks were put in by men and how they're not inspired. Men spend a lot of time with it, don't get me wrong, but I do not like this chapter break here. I think it messes up the flow of this whole section, and I talked about the chapter break between Genesis 1 and 2. I don't like that one. This one here is tough because this is a continuous flow and a continuous thought from Solomon, and I think too often when we see those chapter breaks, we break our train of thought, when in reality, the end of chapter 11 is talking about youth and what they're supposed to be doing, and the beginning of chapter 12 is actually summing up what he's talked about. He even says it right there, remember also your Creator in the days of your youth. And what they're doing there is they're breaking chapter 12 so we can begin to talk about old age, which comes in the next 8 or 9 verses. But it might be better just to put all those in one continuous section, because it is. And it makes a lot more sense. Remember your Creator in the days of your youth. So open up your handout, last section here, real quickly. Three things that are blessings of remembering your Creator in the days of your youth. So as a youth, where does this get us? Number one, you set an example for other believers. You set an example for other believers. How sweet it is when the youth in our midst are actually the ones who are setting an example, who are godly and righteous and who set an example for others. 1 Timothy 4:12, let no one look down on your youthfulness, but rather in speech, conduct, love, faith, and purity, show yourself an example of those who believe. As a youth, you want to be strong in the Lord so you can set an example for others. I'm tired of hearing about youth who get out of their home and get out into the world and drift away from God. Let's be youth who are strong in the Lord and who stand firm in the principles of His Word. Number two, You do more throughout your life for the Lord. You do more throughout your life for the Lord. And so it just makes sense that if you're serving God and being faithful to Him as a youth, those 10, 15 years you have as a youth, you're going to do more overall in your life for the kingdom of God. You're going to have more crowns to lay at the feet of Jesus. Life is a marathon, not a sprint. And as we look at our life, we look at the entire course of our life and what we have done for the kingdom of God. As a youth, you will never get those years back. You will never get the years back you have as a youth. Use them for the kingdom of God, not for debauchery and lust and disobedience and sin. Use it for God. And you will do more throughout your life for the Lord. And last one, number three, you leave a wonderful legacy for both young and old. You leave a wonderful legacy for both young and old. When you're willing to stand up in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation, and you're willing to be a light to others as a youth, you leave that legacy. You start your life out strong in the Lord, and you carry that through, and you learn, and you grow, and then you get to where you're going to be in life, and you settle in, and you still have those principles. Again, the habits you form as a youth carry through throughout the rest of your life. So remember your Creator in the days of your youth. Honor God as a youth. So, in summary, as a youth, we take time to rejoice. We take time to live our lives for the kingdom of God. We make the most of the benefits God has given you as a youth. Remember, judgment is coming. Remember, the days of darkness are coming. But those are not to overwhelm us. Those are not to affect us as we live our life for Christ. Bridges, one final quote from Bridges. He says, "Youth is but as the aurora or early morning of a day, quickly gone from thence to noon, from noon to night. Therefore, care should be taken to spend it in such a manner as that we may have an abiding fruit and pleasure, which will not vanish with the years which were consumed in the pursuance of it. Youth is vanity because so often, preferring vanity to godliness, eager in delusive expectations." So they prefer vanity to godliness as a youth. And he talks about the abiding fruit and pleasure which will not vanish with the years. So as a youth, even all of us, again, this is principles that apply to every one of us, we need to have the abiding fruit and pleasure of a life lived for Christ that will not vanish with the years. This goes back to the vanity that he's been talking about in Ecclesiastes. Use the benefits that God has given you in your particular stage of life as a youth, all those things, for His glory and for His kingdom, and to do the things that God honors. Your life will be so much sweeter, be full of joy and pleasure everlasting. Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank You for the day, Lord. Thank You so much for the many rich blessings You bestowed upon us. Even this morning as we think about youth and we think about the benefits, the health, the vigor, the sharp mind. We also think about the warnings, the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes and the pride of life. And I pray that You would help the youth in our congregation and youth in general just to understand their life is very meaningful and it has purpose, and they are not to be overwhelmed by the things in this life, but to carry forward in rejoicing and have true joy in their heart, the real joy that can only come from living a life that is pleasing to You, God. As youth, help us to flee the lust of the eyes and the lust of the flesh and the pride of life, and to pursue godliness and righteousness and holiness, to spend time in Your Word, to pray, to focus on You, God, and that our free time or the time we have would be valuable and meaningful and precious to us, that we may take it to heart and we may start to cultivate habits and start to cultivate things in our life that will carry forward and that can change us and affect us and draw us nearer to You. What we desire most, Lord, is to live a life that is holy and pleasing to You. That's the purpose of our life, and to do what we can for Your kingdom as You've given us health and vigor and different things and benefits in our life. Oh, that we would go forth in the spirit and power of who You are, God, and live a life that's pleasing to You. May You grant us that even this morning. I do pray for Pastor Mark and Lord, be with him. Give him a good message. I pray again that we would be attentive and listen, and we would take these things to heart and apply them to our lives and be different as we walk out here today, Lord. It's in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ we pray. Amen.